You can take your Bibles, and we're going to start in Romans chapter 10. Before we get there, I just kind of want to share how this whole thing came about for me. So several months ago, I was having a problem, and I knew I needed to renew my mind, but it wasn't going very well. I remember laying when I go to bed at night, I lay in bed and I pray and I talk to God. And I remember going to God and saying, I can't stand it. I need help with this. And the very next morning, when I got up and sat down to read my word with my coffee, God showed me a verse of scripture regarding the renewed mind and how He would help me to renew my mind. And this was a huge revelation to me. I mean, it just never occurred to me that God could help me do this, because I'd always say, you got to renew your mind, you got to renew your mind. You have to do it. So this started a journey, and God continued to show me many things in His Word about the renewed mind. And the actual title of my teaching is, The Renewed Mind is a Matter of Heart. And so we're starting in Romans, because that's where it all begins with us. In Romans chapter 10, and we're going to read verses 6 through 8 to start. It says, But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, Say not in thy heart, Who will shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring Christ again from the dead. But what saith it now? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. And I'm going to read this too in the Working Translation, because I think it makes more sense. However, verse 6, however, the justness from believing says thus, Do not say in your heart, Who will ascend into the heaven? That is to bring Christ down. Or, Who will descend into the abyss? That is to bring Christ from the dead. But what does it say? The justness from believing say, The word is near you, in your mouth, and in your heart. That word of the right way of believing, which we herald. And this is actually quoted from Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 11 through 14. And that says, For this commandment, which I command thee this day, it is not hidden from thee, neither it is far off. It is not in heaven that thou shouldest say, Who shall go up for us to heaven and bring it down to us, that we may hear it and do it? Neither is it beyond the sea that thou shouldest say, Who shall go over the sea for us and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it? But the word is very nigh unto thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest do it. Isn't that something? You know, God didn't withhold His word. He gave it to us freely and made it known unto us. So in verse 9, it says, That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart, there's that word heart again, that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved, or made whole. At that point, we were made whole. For with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So when we got born again, we were made whole. We got God's Spirit, God in Christ in us. And that word saved means made whole. But it's not just the giving of the Spirit, which is huge. But we were made whole in every category of our lives. You know, whatever it is. You know, physically, spiritually, we had complete, total, God wiped out all our sins. Anything that we possibly needed, we were made whole at that point. So from that point on, you know, we do screw up and we do sin, but God made a way for us to forgive us our sins. But God also wanted us to know Him and His heart and His word for our hearts and lives. So the word heart is the inner man, the seat of spiritual life, the thoughts of the mind, where believing emanates from. And so it's a big deal. It's a big deal what's in your heart because of those things. Romans chapter 12, Everybody's familiar with these verses of scriptures. And in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, it says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, or your logical divine service to God. And be not conformed or fashioned to this world, this age, because that's where we used to live before we got born again, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So in verse 2, when it talks about the renewing of the mind, now this renewing the mind is specific to the words renewed mind, renewing your mind, is all in the New Testament. And we'll see the reason for that. But the renewing, Thayer's lexicon and concordance says about renewing, it means a renewal, a renovation. I love that. I mean, it just spoke to me. I like to watch HGTV, so they're always talking about renovation. So renewing your mind is renovating your mind. I thought that was very cool. And it also means a complete change for the better. And then in verse 3, it says, for I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as according as God hath dealt to every measure of faith. And that word measure of faith, I'll read it from the Working Translation. So by the grace that was given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think beyond what you ought to think, but to think with sober thinking, according as God has distributed the measure of the foundation for believing to each of you. You know, God gave it to us. That's what we're to think. We're not to think what we think, because, you know, seriously, compared to God, I know nothing. So, you know, as I said a couple weeks ago, I'm dumb, he's smart. Why would you know, why not go to him? He knows everything anyway. So, but that was God's heart for us. Turn to Ephesians. So, and God gave us everything that we need to believe in his word. Now, we got to go to the word and we got to look at it and read it to know what he wanted for us. But Ephesians chapter 4. In verse 22, it says, that you put off concerning the former conversation or manner of life, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So in verse 22, when it says put off concerning the former conversation, manner of lifestyle, the old man, that word put off is to strip it off. And then in verse 24, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness, that word put on means to clothe. So we just strip off the old man nature and we put on the new man nature, which is according to God in his word. And then the rest of this, we're not going to read it, but from verse 23 and the following, God never tells us what not to do without telling us what to do. So that this whole section, and everybody's familiar with it, so we're not going to read it, but God will say, you know, don't do this, but do this. Don't do this, but do this. Mm-hmm. He's very specific, you know. And then in verse 32, the last verse, it says, and be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. And that's what God would have us to do, is to be kind, tender-hearted, forgiving, as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven us. And look what he forgave us for. And when we got born again, our slates were clean. I grew up in a religion that, like, if you didn't confess every single sin, you weren't going to go to heaven, which is an impossibility. So when I learned what Romans 10, 9, and 10 said, I was like, yeah, you know? I mean, so go to Colossians chapter 3. And we're going to read verses 9 through 14 in Colossians chapter 3, but I am just going to read them from the Working Translation. You can follow along in your own Bibles. Colossians 3, verse 9. Do not lie to one another, stripping off the old man with his acts, and clothing yourselves with the new man, which is renewed in knowledge, in accordance with the image of him who created it. Where there does not exist Greek and Judean, circumcision and uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, servant, free person, but Christ is all things and in all people. Therefore, holy, sanctified, and beloved ones, as God's chosen ones, clothe yourselves with merciful compassion, kindness, humbleness, meekness, long-suffering, upholding one another and forgiving each other. If anyone has a complaint against anyone, then even as the Lord of Christ forgave you, so you also ought to do. Above all these things, clothe yourselves with love, which is the uniting bond of maturity. So, you know, in these verses, God's telling us to strip off and to clothe ourselves with all these qualities. And when you read these, it made me think of Jesus Christ and the qualities that he exhibited in the attributes. You know, he was the Son of God. He had a perfectly renewed mind, but he was still a man. But he was always obedient to his Father's will. He never did anything without asking God first. He was a man of prayer. You know, he was a man of service. He was a man of love. He was a man of humbleness and a man of patience. And I always think of Peter when I think about that one. And he was compassionate. And there's so many other things when you stop to really consider the life of Jesus Christ and the attributes that he exhibited. And that's how God would have us to walk with him. So, turn the page. We're going to go to Philippians chapter 2. Back a few pages. And we're going to read verses 5 through 8, and I am going to read it from the Working Translation again. You can follow along. Think in this manner, verse 5, think in this manner within yourselves, which was also the thinking that was in Christ Jesus. Being in the form of God, he did not consider being equal with God plunder or for personal gain. Instead, he emptied himself of reputation, taking the form of a servant, being made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as mankind, he humbled himself, becoming obedient as a son and servant until death, death even of the cross. And so here again we see some of those qualities of Christ and how obedient he was, even unto death. You know, and we know when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, did he want to do this? No. And he cried unto his Father. And we don't know what God did for him, but he gave him what he needed so that he could go through with it for us. And, you know, when it says, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, the word renewing your mind is used in the context of the Church of Grace, but you don't see it in the Old Testament. But in the Gospels in the Old Testament, the attributes of renewing your mind are still present. It's not anything new. It's just that in the New Testament, it's specific because we have God in Christ in us. So we have that ability to walk as Christ walked, which they didn't have. But they still needed to know God and know His Word and meditate upon His Word and renew their minds to God's Word. And that's what we're going to look at now. We're going to turn to Matthew. I'm going to put this back. And look what it says in the Gospels. I forgot to read Ephesians 5, 1 and 2. Somebody have Ephesians 5, 1 and 2 real quick? Mm-hmm. Read it out loud, please.
And walk in love, this is the Young's, and walk in love as also the Christ did love us and did give himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for an odor of a sweet smell. And whoredom and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be even named among you as becometh saints.
It also says in the King James versions to be imitators of God. You know, we're to be imitators of God. So, you know, that is what God would have us to do, and to walk in love, even as Christ walked and loved us. So in Matthew, I'll get there. I'm not there yet. Chapter 22, and in verse 36, this was a man who was a lawyer of the law, and he says to Jesus Christ, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? He's trying to tempt him. And Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And that word neighbor actually means near, whoever's near you, you know. I mean, we go out everywhere during the daytime. Whoever's near us. It isn't my next door neighbor, but that's what that word means. You're to love your neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law of the prophets. And this is quoted from Deuteronomy. I'm just going to read it to you. Chapter 6. And in verse 5 it says, And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Pretty much covers it, you know. I mean, this is Deuteronomy. Even back then, God was telling them, just look to me, look to my word, think about my word, teach it to your children, meditate upon it. You know, there's so many things that each individual can do to help themselves to hold God's word in their mind. For me, singing works really great. But so you can sing out loud, sing in your head, you can speak in tongues, build up that inner man so that you can listen to God. You can read His Word, you can read His Word and read it out loud, you can listen to teachings, and you can talk to each other. You know, when you're talking to people, what are you talking about? I love talking about the Word, personally. So, back to Matthew, and we're going to go to chapter 6. And as we're going through the Word, just consider in You know, after this teaching, consider when you're looking at God's Word, how many times you see the word heart in there. It's just such a big deal of what you have in your heart. Matthew 6, verse 19, it says, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." And I'm going to read you what Bishop K.C. Polite, because this is an Orientalism in these verses, and he did so much work on it. And this is how he writes the literal translation of really of what these verses are. It says, "Let not your thoughts be centered in material things, where fears and worries breed defeat and frustration, and where the doubts break through and steal your thoughts. But let your thoughts be centered in the Spirit, where neither fear nor worry breeds defeat and frustration, and where doubts do not break through and steal your thoughts. For where your thoughts are, there will your heart be also." That's pretty cool. You know, and that's, you know, what God wants for us. Matthew chapter 12. Verse 34. "O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh." You know, and you know, you meet people who really, what's coming out of their mouth is garbage, verbal diarrhea, you know, it's, and they're evil, and it's very apparent, but that's what they're putting in their heart. That's not what God wants us to put in our heart. He wants us to put His Word in our hearts, so that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So go to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 1. "My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." Verse 7, "Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones." So to be health to your navel, marrow to your bones means it's medicine for your body. You know, and here again, God's telling us, don't be wise in your own eyes. You know, the God who created the heavens and earth, who knows all. There are so many things that scientists guess at in our day and time. You know, and do we know all the answers? No, because God hasn't revealed it unto us. So, and one day, we'll know. We probably won't care once we get to heaven about something. You know, go through your mind, those fleeting thoughts like, what is this? You know. But don't be wise in your own eyes. God knows the answer. We just have to go to God and He will help us. In 2 Corinthians 10:15, it says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So you cast down your imaginations, your reasonings, demolish your human logic, and bring every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. You know, there again, you know, God's saying, you know, just come to me. I got all the answers, you know. And I think that's just so great. So in the beginning of the teaching, I said to you, when I was having a hard time renewing mine, that's what I did. I went to God, and he gave me the answers. And this is the verses that I saw that morning. It's Psalm 141, and it just kind of blew me away, you know, when we saw this. And it was such an answer to my prayer from the night before. Psalm 141, in verse 1, it says, Lord, I cry unto thee, make haste unto me, give ear unto my voice when I cry unto thee. This is a psalm of David. Let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. And in verse 3, set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth, keep the door of my lips. And I saw that and I was like, wow, that's what he asked God to do for him. To set a watch before his mouth and to keep the door of his lips. And that set a watch and keep the door, the word keep and watch are the same words, and it literally means to guard. And that's what David asked God to do for him. You know, to help him to guard his mouth and to guard the door of his lips. Verse 4, incline not my heart to any evil thing, to practice wicked works with men that work iniquity, and let me not eat or devour of their dainties, their pleasures. And that was what David asked God. And did God help him? Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, he was a man after God's own heart, David. Deuteronomy chapter 10. Verse 12. And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require thee but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, and to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes which I command thee this day. You know, same thing that we've been seeing in the New Testament, in the Gospels, and in the Old Testament. And we're going to close in Psalm 119. Cheated and kept my finger in it. Psalm 119, verse 10, it says, with my whole heart have I sought thee. O, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart, or treasured up in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. And that word sin means to miss the mark, you know. So here again, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. So that's what I wanted to share. And, you know, in the beginning, when I talked about how I was having this issue with renewing my mind, I always thought renewing my mind was such a chore. I don't think like that anymore. It's really a joy. It's really a joy.